This recording, Wisconsin 6, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah was a nurse who had been working in the newest area of the territory. She was very happy to start another new job, this time in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. On her first morning, she washed her face, put on a plain white dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah a letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the bird. The goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it took some force to trap her, but Sarah managed by gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm and singing to her. Her efforts were not futile. Very soon, Comma began to tire, and Sarah gave her a relaxing bath, washed her, and laid her on a cloth for diagnosis. Almost immediately, Sarah remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. The treatment was very expensive, but Mrs. Harrison, millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. One of the things I liked in the place that we lived the longest, I was from age 5 until the summer I turned 13. We lived in a part of West Dallas that was sort of on the edge. And this was in the 50s, late 50s, and which now people could figure out my age if they wanted to, but anyway, you could go. We lived around a block area that was off of Highway 100, which was the major thoroughfare before expressways, the major thoroughfare in Milwaukee. And you could walk from my house the equivalent about 3 blocks. You'd go past where the houses were built up, which had lots of kids, you know, very suburban, very post-World War II, to what we called Green Hills. It had been a farm. We thought it still was a farm just because there was all this greenery. And in fact, I shouldn't even say we because I went up there mostly by myself. I'd walk up the top of the hill, lay on the grass, and in the distance ahead, that I didn't walk that far because I didn't think it would be allowed, you could hear cows mooing. And I remember laying on my back in the summer and watching the clouds and telling myself stories. And that's one of my favorite places in the world. Another place, Milwaukee does have a good park system. And there was Greenfield Park, which was bike riding distance from my home at that same time. And I would bike, telling my mother I was going to the swimming pool, only I hated swimming. It was really for the bike ride. And you'd go biking through the woods, and the road was winding, and you could just coast. Back then, well, in fact, the whole time I was growing up, my bicycle was what I call now to my children. I explain I had a no speed. You know, there weren't handbrakes or anything like that. It was either you were biking and pedaling or you weren't going anywhere. And but I remember going down, you know, biking along there on the way to the pool, and then I would just bike back again. And the times that you could coast, and there were all the trees overhead that, you know, the sky was sort of, the sunlight would dabble in and go out again. And those are my favorite places.